welcome to everybody on BBS. And I'm sorry we're late. And Don Newsom, who is the head of BBS, was just apologizing to us profusely. And we were just, I said I felt some grief today because we're not a political organization, but, and I know that Trump has a lot of faults. And years ago, I could have never supported him because of his faults. But I watched him carefully for quite some time. And I do have an idea of what's going on in the government, aside from the Trump-Biden thing. And, you know, one could be, Terry and I have both been political in various past lifetimes. One time she was a writer in the French Revolution, and she got her head cut off. Is that correct, Terry?
Yeah, that's correct. I was trying to create peace between all the factions in the French Revolution, but they decided that I was even one of their people, and they accused me of sedition and ordered my head to be chopped off, and they chopped off my head.
And that's the second time she got her head chopped off, okay, that I know about. You know what the first time was, Terry?
I know that there was a bunch of times, but...
Oh, there were a bunch of times?
What time are you thinking of?
Well, I think you say Catherine.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Actually, they cut her head off after she died, okay?
That's right, but the thing of it is, it's like I was aware of it. And they still keep my head in one of their churches.
It's not your head anymore. Just let go of it, okay?
Okay. It's their head now.
Okay. It's just that they wanted to adore it so much. They wanted to...
They wanted a piece of me.
Wanted a piece of her, right.
Yeah.
Where she wasn't having any sex that way. But
no, I when I was five, I told my parents, I'm not getting married and I'm not having sex my whole life. And, you know, they kept trying to set me up and get me married. And I was really pretty and it didn't help.
So Terry is a passionate champion for truth.
Right.
And even when she was St. Catherine, and when I was first reading about St. Catherine, some of these qualities St. Catherine had, I couldn't completely see them in Terry, because Catherine had very little fear about confronting big shots. So she would go, okay, who just turned on the speakerphone? Turn it off. Hello. Thank you. Thank you. It's working now. Everybody's still unmuted, so don't make a bunch of noise. She had no compunctions about going to see the Pope and rattling his cage about one thing or another, and particularly corruption in the church. But this lifetime, you know, I didn't see that quality. Because
yeah, but you could have seen that quality when I first started selling sunglasses, and I would go off to the Arizona Fair all by myself and run the whole fair booth and everything, and then I would go to San Jose area, Watsonville, and set up a whole thing, hire 10 girls, and I'd do that all alone, and then go to Mendocino or somewhere and do another show. I mean, there was that, but and I would do shows and talk to all these people, but somewhere later on, I got shy about it.
Uh-huh. All right, I remember those days. Okay.
Yeah.
Are we going to have enough time for the questions?
Yeah, we better get started.
Yeah, let me see if any questions just came in while we've been talking.
Thank you, Terry, for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm just trying to... I was trying to work the grief out for the day, okay?
Yeah, from everybody that has it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get information from the channeling that'll help us, so...
We tried, and they said, you know, thing I can tell you, one thing I told you, and we already asked them today, I mean, I might ask something about it, but, you know,
I got
a good picture. They said, it is what it is. And I asked them, is there any prophecy about how this is going to all work out? And they said, no. I'm sorry.
We might get indirect information.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, they can add energy to things, but they don't twist anyone's arm. They have to let
things play out. They're an assistance crew.
Yeah. So, just because we talk to them, it does not mean that everything can change by magic. All right? It just doesn't mean that. It's like things do change. If you notice, if you pay close attention to the times they change things, there's usually an openness on both sides. On this side and from them. And when there's not an openness on this side, it doesn't change.
The people are the creator of whatever they got going.
Yeah. So, and it's just the way it works. I know some of you might think, and I can understand it, might think the connection with the Elohim is like a magic bullet, okay? And if they want something enough, they might make it happen. And it's just more subtle than that. It is. And that's from my experience, it is. And there is a certain criteria for something to happen. And we're learning what it is. I'm learning what it is by learning how to do these calls and learning. I mean, how it works. So, in any case, I'm ready to start. Hi, do you want to mute everybody?
Okay.
Thank you.
Muted.
All right. So, our first question for tonight is from...
We need to do the invocation.
Right, okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of light to surround and protect Terry and myself and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now.
We greet you in the love sight of the one infinite creator. Go ahead, Wynn.
No, you go ahead. I was just going to start reading the questions. What?
This is Ma Arm, and we take a moment and we position ourselves with each and every person who is listening to the call, each and every person that has asked a question. And if we ever say anything that doesn't make total sense to you or you can't use, then disregard it. There have been people who sometimes also we have given an answer, and 3 years later they suddenly say, oh, I understand now what that meant. Or some people have said, well, you know, that just doesn't make sense. I don't. So don't, if it doesn't make sense to you, don't adopt it. Don't feel like you have to make it true or anything like that. We are merely here to assist wherever we can. We come directly to you. We don't come through the telephone line. That's where the voice comes from. We don't come through the radio. That's where the voice comes from, through the computer. We just take a moment, and it may seem odd that we can connect with each and every one of you directly, but we are non-linear, and so we're able to do multiple things at the same time. Do you have questions?
Yeah, I mean, some people, I think if you can, you can connect with everybody directly, then that's kind of how people think about God, that, you know, God can just connect with everybody. How would you explain that?
Well, everybody has a connection with God and is a part of God, and so everybody is connected up.
Okay, I agree. So, Edgina, sometimes in meditation, I imagine myself going to the 12th dimension, where I work with the energy to heal and rejuvenate my body and mind. Every time I go there, I come back very awake and alert, and I get this distinct feeling of clearness and alertness in my mind. It really seems like the energy of the 12th dimension is working on my body. My question to the sources, am I imagining this, or is it really happening? And I would like to add, how can she tell what the 12th dimension is? I assume she's going by 13 dimensions, so it's pretty high.
There's a particular aspect of the 12th dimension, and that is at the beginning, before the beginning. And so if everything, once you get there, you can clear everything that is lower dimension than that. You can simply clear it all, and then you can move back in wherever you want to be. So this is not your imagination. This is reality, and it's marvelous that you're able to sense it, to know it, to know that you're there. We also wanted to say this is a talent you can use when you are working with France, who has died and on the other side. So you can clear out anything to do with his issues or your issues to do with France, and then come back in very, very crystal clear, even not even crystal, just very clear. And you will be able to then help clear France of his, foibles. His mesmerisms, his things that he's stuck in. Thank you.
Thank you. This is from Don Herman.
Yes.
And regarding enlightenment experiences, is there a way to intentionally move our everyday awareness to our higher self mind? And, you know, I would say, can you explain from your perspective what is an enlightenment experience?
Well, if you are looking for an enlightenment experience, to say, okay, well, this is enlightenment, and that you can then feel it's an experience that you are feeding back to yourself and seeing happen within your space, then you are a step behind enlightenment. Because enlightenment, you just are sensing things. You are seeing things clearly. You are relating this to that, and you're relating things in your environment to things that you have learned. And there is can be a light that you can see within your space. But if you are looking around saying, okay, I want to see this enlightenment, it's like taking stock of all of these things that happen when you are enlightened or working through an issue with enlightenment. And if you're taking stock of it, then you have gotten a little bit off of center where you're making something happen, experiencing something in connection with your environment, in connection with your own knowledge. We hope that that makes sense to you.
Thank you. And then he has another question. Let's see. What is the purpose of third density and all its negativity? Thank you.
Thank you. The third density is whatever purpose you give it. In general, individuals in the third density have a more difficult time. They're up against more limitations, and they learn things slower. Because everything is echoing through all of the body, the construction, the molecules, the DNA, everything has to stay in sync. When you are in a higher density, you don't have so many things for the experience to move through. But you have, in the third density, you have a lot of layers for the experience to move through. So you tend to look at things slower, and it tends to really become vivid for you. So it is whatever purpose that you would give it, and you would be here for your own purpose or your own desire for a certain growth experience, or to have a connection with others, or to experience love, or just to experience sensation. So it is what you put to the paper as a purpose that becomes your purpose.
Thank you. Next question from Maya.
Who?
Maya in Hawaii.
Maya, okay. All right.
Yeah.
You are on a volcano island. You are experiencing many earthquakes, which is making a bit of a shuddering environment, and is a little unsettling at this time, which then will also appear to unsettle all other issues that you are dealing with in your life. Go ahead.
Okay.
With a question.
Her question is, do I have any significant past lives? Do any of them have to do with wind? Is there now, I know she's asking this about me, but I get permission to answer it. Is there a karmic entanglement that we need to resolve? What needs clearing in my energy field for channeling? Those are her questions. Do we go through them one by one?
Any questions here? That is like a life purpose to see what in your space needs clearing. We would suggest that perhaps relationships between the sexes, men and women, or your husband and you, or other people and your relationships is a good one to begin to take a look actually at what is there going on with the other person, and just not only what is going on with you concerning the person, but where is the other person at, and what is the other person trying to achieve or think about. That's one of the areas that you have set about to work through. Job, with your in relationships with your coworkers, and that, again, it's relationships of a different sort with people of your own peers, co-workers, supervisors, authority. There is the wide range of things that within its own sphere you have to look at. Give us a moment. The question about when, do you have anything, we would say more that it is, he represents certain aspects of things you are trying to deal with, for instance, male-female relationship, just interactions between male and female, between people, interactions between people, and to sit there and see what is going on with them and listen, and then an interaction where you can make known what it is that you wish to convey. Communication is this realm, this way of looking at things. Communication has to deal with relationships and how to listen and to see what it is the other person is trying to convey, and then how to get their attention so you can convey what it is that you wish to convey. That's some of what you asked.
Thank you. Should I go on to any of the other questions or just leave it at that? Let's see what time. We probably have time for another question. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'm looking here. She had a theoretical question. She was asking me about it, and I found it hard to give her a satisfactory answer. And then she got into an argument with me, and then she sent it in. And she tends to be someone who will quote the Bible and say, if it's in the Bible, it's true. And we were having a discussion about reincarnation, and I was telling her that in one place in the Bible, it was indicated that when Jesus came to John the Baptist, he told John the Baptist, you once were Elijah, and now you're John. And that's in the Bible. So different people have different interpretations of that. But some people believe that Jesus was recognizing John the Baptist as a reincarnation of Elijah. And so she didn't want to believe that. And of course, just because it's in the Bible, I wouldn't say it's true one way or the other. The things that I believe are true are there's a lot of words of Jesus that I understand from my own intuitive levels, and I know they're true. But other stuff, I say, I don't know, so I'm just putting it aside. Okay? And so, I'm just looking here. She thinks John the Baptist was channeling Elijah, okay? And
some people do believe that concerning, some people believe it's reincarnation, some people feel that that they may be channeling, they don't believe that in reincarnation at all, and that they believe that if it happens, the person is simply channeling the other entity, as the Akashic record is available to be looked at and channeled and re-experienced, perhaps. So this is one way that people look at it, and that can be respected. And if they believe that it may be the reincarnation, actually, of Elijah, that can be another way of looking at it. So instead of trying to convince someone that what they believe is not correct, then one can simply listen to them and can see what it is that they're saying. And it can then allow the other person to have their own belief. And then if the other person at some point in their life, Tess gets more information and begins to move to another interpretation, then that can be freely done. So the belief, Maya's belief in that is one interpretation that many people actually believe.
Well, you know, I would not normally ever quote the Bible, and I don't even have a vested interest. You know, when people come together and they have different ways of looking at it, and instead of coming together in a oneness, they can look at their different ways of looking at it and feel separate. Like if we don't believe the same thing, then we must not be.
And then we have
one.
To make you believe what we believe so that
right.
We want to be on the same page. Yeah.
You know, now in my case, you know, I don't believe in reincarnation because of anything I've read. I've had so many direct experiences that it would be impossible for me to explain those experiences without including the fact that I had some kind of resonance with a particular person in another life. So, I mean, I wouldn't quote the Bible to prove reincarnation. And I don't think it's relevantly important for a person to believe in reincarnation, to evolve. But in my case, and in Terry's case, I know it's helped us both understand why we're doing what we're doing today and how it connected with past times. So,
yes, so your belief in your is working, and so there's no reason for you to have to try to justify your belief either.
Yeah, or to convince someone else. So in any case, we got another question here. Hang on a second. We have two more questions. Let's see if we can fit them both in. Last week, for the Sunday call, I was blessed to get some information about the incident with my dog and spirit guide, whose name is Druid. Druid, D-R-U-I-D.
Druid.
Okay.
Druid.
Yeah.
A good now, Irish name.
Is I don't know if he's saying his dog is his spirit guide, or I think that's what he's saying. Okay, let me read the rest of it. I treated him immediately,
and
he has no
physical. Person?
This is Mark Sonnenberg in Ireland.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I treated him immediately, and he has no physical symptoms. And I think that's because he put them in the light on Sunday. He's on the healing.
Yes, your love is very healing. And he was not injured that badly by his accident with the car.
Yeah. Then he goes on and he says, I feel he is different, and I still feel this was more than an accident. I would like to know why this happened and if there is more that I can do to help this great spirit. I tell him how much I love him every day to make sure he knows I want him in my life as long as he would like to stay on the planet his form.
This is very helpful to him, as he did have that experience, a brush with death, and the potential of crossing over at that time. It has sobered him, and he is benefiting greatly by your love and telling him so.
Okay. And the next question, we're going to fit it in. Hang on. It's from Valerie. And Valerie asks, hang on. We lost a roommate to suicide on New Year's Day. His name was John. He used to tell me once in a while that he just doesn't belong on this planet. My question is, why do people feel like this? I'm so confused. I'm not sure if the Elohim can answer this, but I had to try. Valerie,
okay.
And Valerie, you know, that's something. Valerie in Livermore, right.
Yes. Your friend did feel that there was another place that he felt more home, another, maybe on the other side, and the heaven realm, or there's some place where he has felt home before, probably not so much the heaven realm as the, in this life, he has not felt that he has found the comfort, the interaction arena that he had in his past life, and he's gone looking for it. It was on a different planet, even. He doesn't really feel like he belonged in this lifetime, and he felt like he needed to get back home to a place where he, in the past, has felt more home. In New Year's, he left on New Year's. He is not really hanging around that much. He is a little bit searching for this home, this comfortable place where he feels at home, and he is searching for that opportunity to experience that. It may be something that he may look for a while, to attempt to find it so he can fit in a way that in the past he has fit in.
Thank you. Okay, we did it. We finished before 7. We're going to Whole Planet Healing right now. 712-770-4340. 712-770-4340. And the PIN is 250-513. And we'll see you there in a moment. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the questions for tonight. And
unmuted.
Thank you from Seattle.
You, thank you, Ian. Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
We love you guys here at BBS Radio. Sorry.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Thank you.
We love you guys.
Thank you.
We love you guys. Love, love, love.
Thank you.
Bye.